The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Bonusly, a fun personal recognition and rewards program that enriches company culture and improves employee engagement. Used by thousands of companies, Bonusly integrates with popular collaboration tools like Slack and Zapier, as well as HR software like ADP and Bamboo HR. Bonusly is proudly made right here in Boulder, Colorado. Learn more about employee recognition and try Bonusly free for 2 months at bonus.ly/BoulderTech. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. I like to talk to the movers, shakers, and makers influencing the exciting tech scene thriving in Boulder and across Colorado's Front Range. There's a lot going on here. Our guest for episode number 25 is Bruce Rosard, co-founder and COO of Arrival, a travel industry organization and conference serving as the voice for the best part of travel, the creators and sellers of tours, activities, and attractions. Bruce and I cover many subjects, including the birth and rapid growth of the Arrival Conference, the biggest challenges facing the in-destination travel sector, his role as a startup mentor and advisor, and what Arrival's research has shown as the experience almost every traveler is looking for. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Arrival's Bruce Rosard. Why Arrival? What is Arrival and why did you co-found it?
Arrival is a conference, is how it started, but really it's now become a business about what we call the best part of travel. So, for example, Joel, when you go on vacation, do you go because of the flight that you're going to take?
No.
Do you go because you're looking forward to the hotel you're going to stay in?
No.
You go because of what you're going to do when you get there, right? Like whether it's go whitewater rafting or on a balloon ride, or maybe it's a walking tour in Italy with a guide who can take you to the little cafe that you would never discover on your own. It's all the great stuff that you do when you get there. That's called in-destination experiences, also known as tours and activities and attractions. And that's what Arrival is all about, the best part of travel, the reason people really go on vacation. So this industry is huge. The travel industry itself is the largest industry in the world. It's a multi-trillion dollar industry. And tours, activities, and attractions is the third largest segment of that industry after air and hotel. It's $150 billion. So it's a huge industry. It's highly fragmented, right? Lots of little companies that make up this industry. Tiny little mom and pops that maybe are food tour companies or walking companies, all the way up to the giants like Disney World and Universal Studios. And there's never been a company like Arrival that's focused just on this sector for events and for providing information.
So it's incredible to me that the sector of the industry that is really the reason for the industry is only the third largest sector, for one thing, and that it's gone all this time without consolidated representation in the marketplace. Or why are airlines and lodging first, and why do the reason we travel in the first place, why does that get left out?
So I wouldn't say it's left out, but let's qualify a few of those things. So first of all, an airline ticket is $300 to a few thousand dollars if you're flying internationally. And there's tens and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people flying every day. You do the math, you add it up. It's a huge industry. Hotels, same thing. And the hotel rooms are $100, $200, $300 a night. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that need hotel rooms every night. So also a huge industry. Tours and activities, much smaller buy, right? You can go on vacation and you might choose a walking tour that's $50, or get on a double-decker bus and tour around London, hop on, hop off bus, and that's $20. So it's much smaller chunks of a budget. So it actually does make sense that it's the third largest segment, but it's also the fastest growing segment. And there's some reasons for that. So when you say, well, why is it just happening now? It's all about technology. airlines got onto technology in the 1950s when something called the global distribution system started. And you could actually walk into a travel agent who had a computer who could sell you an airline ticket. Hotels, same thing. They got onto technology in the 50s and 60s, and you could buy hotel rooms in a travel agent's office, sometimes on a call through the call center or what have you. But it was all tied together with technology, and it has been for 50 years. This sector has not. The way to buy this kind of product has been walk up to some kind of activities desk and buy in person. And it wasn't tied to technology until about 10 years ago. So what changed? Number one, this thing called the internet changed, right? So the internet came up and all of a sudden you could look for, hey, I'm going to New York. What can I do in New York? And there were different ways that you could find what to do, but it still wasn't really wired. It was still, well, I could go on a trip out to the Statue of Liberty and I could call to maybe make a reservation or more likely just go to the pier and buy a ticket to go on the boat out to the Statue of Liberty, for example. But then about 10 years ago, software as a service started. So there was these SaaS platforms that are reservation systems that were all of a sudden affordable for these companies. And again, these are mostly small and medium-sized companies that couldn't afford huge investments in technology. But software as a service allows them to buy technology way cheaper. And if you have that technology that runs your system, you can connect that to really big distributors, companies like Expedia, Travelocity, TripAdvisor, even Google. All these huge companies are now in this business and they can connect directly to the supply because of the SaaS software.
Does the SaaS software, is that going to take away the mom and popness of these little places?
80% of this product is still sold in destination. So we're way, 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 way far away from getting rid of that personal buy of walking into someone's office and buying a ticket. That said, everyone wants to sell it ahead of time. And also the customer, the consumer is demanding that it's available for sale on their cell phone. So it's really moving very, very quickly to it. If you're not available on mobile, so I can be on vacation, we're in the hotel room, I'm with my family, what do you guys want to do today? What's there available to do? We look it up, we start with Google. If we can't find something to do and book it right there, it's not going to happen. So yes, it might be changing rapidly, but I don't think it's getting rid of that personal touch. A phrase at Arrival that we like to use a lot is get your head out of the kayak. By that, we mean I run a kayak business. I'm really great at running kayak tours. I'm not great at doing business. So I need to get my head out of my kayak and learn how to do business so I can be available on Google or on TripAdvisor or wherever else that customer with their phone in their hand is looking to buy something to do that day.
And so how specifically does Arrival help people get their head out of their kayak?
We started, like I said, by offering a conference. We've now had two conferences. So we're a very young company still. We've only had two conferences and we're starting to do research and provide other materials. But the main way we do it, we'll talk about the conference primarily, is by getting experts who can speak to the smaller companies all the way up to the big companies about the industry, about what we've all learned from these SaaS platform providers. Some of those are our speakers. Like, here's how to build websites that convert more traffic. We bring in experts on how to use Facebook or Instagram. We bring in Google to talk about how they can be utilized to sell more stuff, basically. I mean, all these companies want to sell more stuff. And Arrival's job is to bring in experts who can help these companies do just that. We also bring in all the players in one place, these what we call distributors. So again, these distributors are the Expedias and TripAdvisors, and there's over 60 that were at the Arrival event that just happened in Las Vegas last month. So those distributors meet with the suppliers and they do deals so they can sell their product. So that integration of supplier and distributor is a huge piece of what Arrival has been able to bring to the industry.
And so you just had your second conference a few weeks ago in Las Vegas.
Yep.
How did it go?
Oh, it was just fantastic. I mean, I was just actually reading through some of the, we do a survey, an attendee survey at the end, of course, like every good conference does. And just seeing the response was just so heartwarming, truly. I mean, when you read responses to say, wow, Arrival, you guys changed my life. Literally, we had people telling us that because we were able to help them become better at their business, get their head out of their kayak and learn how to run businesses and scale. I mean, we talked to a couple of companies that they came to Arrival the first year, and this one guy had, like he said, one boat. He does boat tours in Mexico. This year he has 5 boats, and next year he plans to have 20 boats because he's able to now fill his boats. And he met with people all over the world who could help him fill his boats. We have distributors from Hong Kong, Berlin, Italy, Poland, Austria, all over, that have customers that are traveling all over the world. So the response to the conference was just fantastic in terms of the business it generated for the attendees. We know what we're doing. My partners and I have been involved in running conferences for over a decade, and the way we put it together, the professionalism was well appreciated, the organization, we pretty much hit a grand slam.
So you had a lot of people, I guess, who attended the first conference, maybe kind of took a chance on it last year because it was a first-time event. Where was that conference held?
Yeah, the first 2 years were both in Vegas. Vegas is an easy place to run a conference. It's easy to get to, low airfares, room rates. I mean, this year we stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel, which is a very nice hotel because a lot of our attendees are mom and pop, so we want to keep costs low. And we didn't know what we'd get the first year. We thought, oh, we'll get 300 people. No one's ever heard of Arrival, brand new event. We were all kind of part-time startup, just being, you know, real down to earth, getting going. And there were a lot of companies that just didn't want to jump in. Like, oh, we don't know if we're ready to jump into this new thing yet. So instead of 300, we ended up with 550, which we were psyched with, to end up almost double of what we expected. And a lot more companies jumped in the next year and they said, all right, this thing is real. We heard great feedback, and we ended up with 1,100 people this past year. So we doubled. Next year, we're going to Orlando because we want to start doing an East Coast, West Coast type cycle. Not that Vegas is West Coast, so let's call it East-West cycle. And our expectation is 1,500 people. We're also starting our European event this year in March. We'll be in Berlin, and we'll be in Bangkok in June. So we'll be global in 2019.
And do you expect to see a lot of overlap in attendees between those three conference sites, or is it really just going to be sort of focused on the tour operators, et cetera, in those specific regions?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and we don't know the answer. I can tell you that in our U.S. event, we had 49 countries represented. So they came from all over the world. The bigger operators that are global companies, someone like a Grayline Worldwide or a Big Bus Tours or a City Sightseeing Worldwide, they're global. So they'll come to all three events, but it'll be different people. So they'll have their European folks come to the Berlin event. They'll have their Asian folks come to the Asia event. The top level folks, they might certainly come to the U.S. event because that will remain, I'm sure, the biggest event. Some of the smaller companies that came from Europe and Asia, I'm going to guess, won't come back to the U.S. one. They'll stay in their region as long as those events, you know, are up to snuff with what we've been able to create in the States.
Do you travel a lot yourself?
More than I used to. I used to travel a real lot when I owned a ski travel company and I got to go to ski resorts all over the world, but I haven't traveled as much until this Arrival thing started. So especially now that we're opening up Berlin and Bangkok, I'm starting to travel more. Yeah.
Did you meet or see any presentations by tour operators or attractions at this last conference that you were especially impressed by, but I'm also kind of curious, was there anything that was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. I would never think to do that if I went to that place, and now I kind of want to try that out.
Well, I'll tell you one that I don't want to try out. How's that? Okay. And it was last year, and it was this awesome speaker, this woman from the Big Island in Hawaii, who offers swimming with the sharks tours. Swears it's perfectly safe, and has never had an injury or anything. So if you want to go and swim with sharks, she can help you swim with sharks. She also does yoga on, what are the, not surfboards, but stand-up boards.
So paddle
boards,
you
can do yoga on paddle boards and swim with the sharks. So that's what she offers. But I, you know, certainly a lot of the people and the tours they offer are all things that I would love to do. I was just at a conference last week in Austin that was for the Global Food Tour Association. So all foodie tours where you can go to almost any city now in the world, and there's someone there running a tour that can take you to local restaurants that are hand-picked and curated with just little tasting menus and that type of thing. A lot of them have history as part of the tour that they're offering, so it's like learn about the history of the city while you're eating at different restaurants. And I mean, it's just such a wide variety of cool stuff you can do.
What surprised you the most about this sector of the travel industry?
I think really how much learning there is still to do and how little technology is still in place. And I think that's what is really fueling the industry and why there's so much money being pushed at the industry. I mean, there are investors are investing hundreds of millions of dollars right now at this industry. There's acquisitions happening left and right for the, like some of these SaaS companies have been acquired recently. One of them called Fair Harbor, which actually is based in Denver, was just acquired by Booking.com for $300 million. Another one, Boken, based in Iceland, was acquired by TripAdvisor. So there's acquisitions going on. There's investors throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at it. There's a lot of investment because there's still so far to go in the technology development. And what's amazing to me is how much these companies still have to learn. Even though they're successful businesses, they've been doing great for years and years and years, and they all know it, that their potential is just unlimited.
So is the technology, is it more just a wider spreading of an existing technology, or is there a lot of innovation happening on the technology aspect of travel itself?
About 5 years ago is when the innovation started. I think we're at a place now where it's a little bit more mature. So now it's just a matter of connecting everything. So everyone has technology in place, everyone meaning these tech companies, that they're trying to get into the suppliers. 80% of the suppliers don't have tech. I mean, they're literally running their business on spreadsheets or pen and paper. So they're trying to get those guys onto tech. And then it's their job to wire it together with the distributors using APIs so that if I have a bicycle tour company here in Boulder and I get on one of these SaaS platforms that can connect me to 60 global distributors, anyone in the world can find my little bike tour company in Boulder, Colorado, because I've wired myself up appropriately. And that's still the big opportunity.
Speaking of Colorado and tours, I wonder, it just occurred to me, were there many attendees representing the cannabis tour sector?
I met one guy this year. Last year, we had a guy from Colorado, a company called My 420 Tours, who's developed a great reputation here in Colorado. And we had him as one of our speakers last year, actually, to talk about how he started that and what they're doing. Met someone this year from California whose father has built a major tour business, bus tours to all different parts of California. And he's doing an offshoot of that with cannabis tours. And, you know, he said he's just super successful. So it's certainly a thing. We'll see what happens in Canada now that the whole country is legal. And I'm sure that'll be a thing as well. And, you know, there's some components that matter, you know, having cannabis friendly lodging, for example. You know, where can you and where can you not smoke versus use edibles. I mean, it's a whole business on its own.
Your bio states that you are a startup advisor.
That would be correct. Right now I'm spending most of my time advising my own startup. But yeah.
And how did that come about and what does that look like?
So I used to work at a company called Focusrite, and we created something called the Travel Innovation Summit, which was basically a competition, if you will, for startups. And this is before there were like competitions all over the place for startups. This was pretty early on. This is going back maybe 15 years. And so I was able to mentor a lot of travel tech startups back then and loved it. I love working with young people who are ambitious and have vision and want to go and start businesses. And so it just became mostly a hobby of mine. And then here in Boulder, I was fortunate to meet the right people to join Techstars. So Techstars is based in Boulder. It's one of the most successful accelerator programs in the world. And with all the people here in Boulder that are involved, and I became a mentor about 8 years ago and helped mentor a couple really key startups, really always in travel. That's where I can add the best subject matter expertise. And I've worked with a couple other accelerator programs. And now I'm currently advising two different startups. One is based in Vail, called Trip Hero. And their whole pitch is they will come to your house and pick up your skis and snowboards or golf clubs, whatever it might be. And when you arrive in your destination, your skis and equipment, et cetera, are waiting for you in your hotel or condo. And it doesn't cost that much more than carrying it with you through the airport, which sucks because the airlines are now charging for baggage and extra baggage. So it doesn't cost that much more. And it's pretty much a concierge level service. It's pretty cool. And the other company I'm currently advising is called TripSense, which is a company that is really a mixture of fintech, financial technology, and travel. And it's really popular with millennials. It's an app where it helps you save towards a specific trip. So you kind of round up all of your purchases, you set the parameters. And so maybe you're saving $2 here, $5 there with every transaction you do towards a trip that you want to take in the future. And the team is awesome. And I think it's a pretty cool app.
So you've been working in the Colorado startup community for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, specifically Colorado, I would say, my time with Techstars, so about 8 years, but I was mentoring companies in the travel space before that.
Do you have any impressions on how that community, that scene has evolved over that time?
The scene of what?
The rapid growth of tech in this part of the country, especially, you know, on the Front Range.
Well, I mean, I think that Techstars has put Boulder on the map for the tech scene. I think we now see Google coming here. We see Amazon coming here. I'm not so sure they would have come here if Techstars didn't do what Techstars did, which was really become a home base for technology startups. You know, there's a couple key players there. One of them happens to be Jared Polis, as well as Brad Feld, who is a founding partner of the Foundry Group, which is one of the biggest investment companies, VCs, in Colorado, and one of the top ones in the country, actually. And what they did was they created Boulder as a hub. So you kind of, when you look at cities where technology investment happens, obviously you start with San Francisco, number one by far, right? Silicon Valley. Number two, you have New York. Number three, you probably have like Chicago, Seattle. So top tier cities. That's about it. Then you get to your second tier. Boulder's in that second tier with Austin and Boston and, you know, probably a few other handfuls. But Boulder is right there. So it's really a great time to be a startup in Boulder, Colorado.
A lot of the people that I've spoken with for this podcast have talked about the give first philosophy that I know Brad Feld is a proponent of, if not sort of the source of that philosophy. And I wonder what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, and I think he is. You know, I always hear him talk about it, and he doesn't just talk about it. He walks the talk in many ways. It's really impressive what Brad's done. And that is very present in Techstars. When you join Techstars as a mentor, you are taught to give first. And really, being a mentor, that's what it is, because no one pays you to be a mentor. You don't get stock options to be a mentor. You just give your time and your resources, your information. You even give your contacts, which can be scary. If you want to open up, you know, if you're a startup and I open you up to some of my key contacts that I've nurtured over 20 years, I'm giving that relationship up. And I'm only going to do it if I believe in you. I'm not going to share you and your story with one of my key contacts unless I have come around and said, you know what, it's really worth introducing you to these people that I know, because I know that you're the right person to introduce. But just being a mentor is giving first, and you spend time because you want to give that up.
What's next for Arrival beyond the expansion to three conferences and three entirely new locations on three different continents next year?
So that's not enough.
That's
in,
not
enough.
No,
in
that's
2 years.
Not enough. We've already addressed that. So what's next beyond that?
Beyond that, we plan to go digital, which we're not really that digital right now. So we have a website called arrival.travel, and arrival is always spelled with one R in our world. So if you go to arrival.travel, you'll start to see articles that are it's all relevant to tours and activities and attractions to our sector. We're also a research company. We have research at our heart and what we've done. My partner has been a leader in research in travel, tourism, technology globally, and especially in this sector. So we plan to do more research, and we plan to publish a lot of content on that platform of arrival.travel, but more so we plan to form a community, a digital community, so that the people we bring together at our events, as well as the other 600,000 companies in this industry that don't come to our events, have a place to go and to create this community. And that has to obviously happen digitally. And that's a big task that's in front of us. We don't really know how we're going to get there yet, but that's what makes it exciting.
Going back to the research, are there any trends that you've already spotted that really surprise you or are worth talking about?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you one that I think is really interesting and was surprising. We just did a study, a global insight study of travelers who specifically are looking at tours, activities, and attractions. So again, that's all we talk about. And we talked to people in the US, UK, Germany, and France, as well as Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, and Poland. And we learned about their preferences and what they're looking for. And the one thing that really stuck out the most was culinary experiences and how no matter what kind of trip you're going on, maybe you're going on a bike tour. Well, if you're going on a half day bike trip, you know, is lunch a power bar or is lunch a picnic that is pre-set up and you get there and you're just wowed. Like, look at this lunch we just did. If you're doing just a walking tour in the streets of Barcelona, are you just walking around looking at the amazing architecture or are you walking into a restaurant where you get the best tapas you've ever had? And take it to a different level. Think about a baseball game. You know, at Arrival this year, we had the San Diego Padres were there. We're like, what the heck are they doing here? Well, because they're creating an experience. Come to the San Diego Padres baseball game. Well, is their food any good? At San Francisco Stadium, the new Giants Stadium, they've gone a long way to try to make their food good. So it's not just a hot dog and a hamburger like, you know, we're used to at ball games. Same thing at like Disney World. Like we all know that food at Disney World is not, you know, a culinary experience, right? But we're hearing from people in this research, they want culinary experiences. So if you want to differentiate your basic attraction, why don't you do something with food and make it a culinary experience? You can charge for it. People are willing to pay for it, right? So that was the biggest aha for me when I looked at the findings of our research is that whether you're a tiny little tour company doing, you know, a walking tour up to a medium company doing some kind of boat tour up to a huge attraction, amusement park, think about your food.
Why do you think that is?
Because we all love to eat, right? When you go on vacation, what do you love to eat? That's just part of it. So why not integrate it with what you're doing?
And do you think it's just because of the rise of, you know, the Bourdains and all the, you know, Emeralds and all the big chefs, the celebrity chefs? Is that play into it or is I don't know.
Yeah, curious. I don't really know. I don't know, but I do know that I think about when we go on a trip, especially like if you're with extended family. I was talking to my brother about this the other day. And when you get together, especially if there's a few generations, it's almost like everything revolves around the meals. All right, what are we doing for breakfast? Let's go to brunch at this place. Okay, great. We do that. And then we do something else. We take a walk. All right, what are we going to do for lunch? Well, grandma's going to be with us. Okay, so this is what you might want. You know what I mean? Like everything does revolve around food. Oh, and by the way, drink too. So it's just as much drink. When you talk about culinary, we're talking food, wine, beer, distilleries, etc. So I don't know the whys, but it totally makes sense. And for us to see the data that when people talk about what they want culinary experiences.
Well, it's good to know that it's not just my family that wants that. Anything else you'd like to add about anything?
No, I mean, it's a super exciting time to be in this industry. We, you know, people say, why did you start this? How did you start? We saw an opportunity. We've done research in this area. We saw that there was no other conference designed for these people. People were really looking for it. We know that we hit a sweet spot, and that's the reason we're going very quickly to Europe and Asia. We want to get out to the world quickly and establish our position that we've already established as a leader in the space. We are that. And we want to continue that. And we think the digital side is really critical now. And we just have to figure out how to do that.
Excellent. Tell people how they can find you.
Our current website is either arrival.travel or arrivalevent.com. Arrival has one R. And really, that's it.
Bruce Rezard, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
That was Bruce Rosard, co-founder and COO of Arrival. Learn more at arrival.travel and arrivalevent.com. That's Arrival with one R. And follow Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Rosard. That's R-O-S-A-R-D. The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Bonusly, a fun personal recognition and rewards program that enriches company culture and improves employee engagement. Learn more and try Bonusly for free at bonus.ly/BoulderTech. The Boulder Tech Podcast is also made possible in part by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for the Boulder Tech Podcast HQ and to KGNU Community Radio for studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@conduitmusic.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.